that.
All right, good morning. Yes. Okay, good morning, everyone. I'm sorry that a few minutes late. Baruch Hashem, we have parking issues. Baruch Hashem. Okay, so let's begin. So we're going to continue actually this week in Kapitel Nun Dalid. We began last week in chapter 54 in Tehillim. So just to reorient ourselves a little bit from last week, although this week we'll be focusing on a dramatically different theme, the Kapitel begins, L'amnatzeach b'neginos maskil l'dovid. So remember again, last week we spoke about the idea that any Kapitel which begins with the maskil from a lashon of seichel teaches us that David HaMelech is conveying to us a message with incredible importance, ongoing importance, enduring importance, cathartic importance, transformative importance. Every Kapitel is important. Every Kapitel has a message. But certain Kapitloch contain messages which are just dramatically transformative. David HaMelech therefore gives us kind of the heads up over here and tells us that this is that particular Kapitel. So remember, last week we spoke about the historical context of this Kapitel. We mentioned that the beautiful part in Tehillim is that every single Kapitel corresponds to something that has happened, will happen in David HaMelech's life, or has happened, or will happen in Klal Yisrael's life. Everything aligns with some type of life event. Sometimes David HaMelech tells us, more often than not, he doesn't. In this particular Kapitel, he tells us, Bevo hazifim vayomer l'shol halo David mistater imanu. This was the episode we spoke about last week, where David HaMelech is hiding out from Shaul. He's running away rather than fight. Shaul, who is the presently sitting monarch, hides in the city of Ziph, and the Ziphim turn him in to Shaul. So we spoke about, again, the idea of the feelings of betrayal, the feelings of sadness of David HaMelech, the feelings of ultimately always being alone. So I want to draw your attention this week. We're going to focus on one pasuk. So remember, the theme of this kapitel is not betrayal. Betrayal is the beginning part of the kapitel, but then ultimately what David HaMelech says over and over and over is, as much as man betrays me, the Ribono Shel Olam is always a constant in my life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always the rock. That's the Hatsur Tamim Pa'alo. Ribono Shel Olam is the rock. That's why Zalman constantly refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the rock. Already in Parshas Hazinu, Moshe Rabbeinu refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the rock. The rock doesn't change. Now the truth is, the rock does change. Just in the experience of man, which is for a finite number of years, the rock often appears to be a constant. The Ribono Shel Olam is a constant. So we're going to focus today, bless you, on Pasuk Vav. So in number 1, verse 6, David HaMelech says, Hine Elokim Ozer Li. The Ribono Shel Olam is always here to help me. We'll read just Adonai B'Samchei Nafshi. The Lord is to help those who support my soul. So the English translation doesn't exactly read in the right way. So really, Dara is saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu helps me. Hashem b'somchei nafshi. So we're going to see how to translate this. Hashem, so Hashem, somchei, supports those, nafshi, my soul. So what does this mean? So if we take a look at number 2, the Ebenezer writes, Ulefi dati, shispalo shashem yadinuhu mimevakshe ra'aso, v'yazor la'asher yismuchuhu v'lo yal shinuhu. So the Ebenezer comes along and says the following. David HaMelech says, you might think, because you've been studying my chapters of Tehillim, that I feel like the world is against me. Well, if David HaMelech feels like the world is against him, there's good reason why. Because the world is against him. There's good reason for that. The world was, David HaMelech was a man who stood alone. He was a man who really stood alone, even at the very end. Remember, again, we discussed this in past weeks, that David, what's happening while David HaMelech is on his deathbed? What's happening? His son, Adonio ben Chagis, right, is going ahead and essentially crowning himself as the successor. David HaMelech hasn't even died. He hasn't died yet. He's dying. He's actively dying in bed. And again, his son goes out and declares himself as the successor. David HaMelech has no peace. He has no peace in life. He has no peace even while he's dying. So if David HaMelech were to say the world is against me, we would say true. True statement. But despite that, David HaMelech says the world is not against me. There are many who are against me. I ask you to judge those. I ask you to judge those who are against me. And Ribono Shel Olam, reward and strengthen those who stand in my corner. So according to the Ebenezer, the way to read this pasuk is, Hine Elokim Ozali, Ribono Shel Olam, you are always here for me, but you're not the only one. Hashem b'somchei nafshi. There are others who support me as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, reward, help those who support me. Malbim number 3 says, Hine Elokim, Ozali Ba'atzmi, Vashem Besamchim, Vashishim, Anshe David, Vesomchom, Va'ozrav, Vashem Yitzarif, Lios, Gam Keni, Ma'an, Lesam Keni. So the Malbim echoes pretty much the same exact sentiment, which is, Ribono Shalolam, as much as I often cry out to you that I am alone, I'm not alone. Remember again, there are a few hundred men who are traveling with David. David does have some sympathetic allies. He does have people in the kingdom who believe that he is the rightful monarch. He has many supporters throughout his life. You know, the interesting part is that when a person, the feeling of being alone, you know, Rav Soloveitchik writes about this in his, Rav Soloveitchik has a book, it seems like a halachic treatise called Lonely Man of Faith. So in Lonely Man of Faith, so the Rav writes in the beginning, that a person could be surrounded by people, but yet still feel profoundly alone. It's a difference. The Rav makes a fascinating distinction between being alone and being lonely. Being alone means the state of being without people. Being lonely is an internal, almost existential state of isolation that a person feels. I can feel surrounded. The Rav writes, I'm surrounded by Talmidim all the time, the Rav wrote. I'm surrounded by always by people, but yet I feel alone. I feel alone. So David HaMelech, almost like in a moment of reflection, reflective introspection, says, you know, I know I've written so much about feeling alone. I've written so much about being alone. And I want to reframe that. And I want to explain, it's not that I'm alone, it's that I'm lonely. I'm lonely in this world. And you understand it because David HaMelech, as we spoke about so many times, has been shunned, has been cast aside, has been marginalized in so many dramatic ways that at the end of the day, a person begins to feel alone. Believe me, there are seats up here if you need. So David HaMelech, again, in that moment, but yet he stops himself and he says, you know what? I'm not alone. I'm not alone. There are people in my corner, and therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all I ask is for you to take care of those who are in my corner as well. But I think that there's a different interpretation of this pasuk that actually we're going to try to, you know, I'm not giving my parsha here tonight, so I had to find a way to, like, efshe lekayim shneim, to put a little parsha in Tehillim. So Hashgacha Pratis has it in such a way where I think that there's an understanding of this pasuk that we could actually come to from this week's parsha. So if you look at number 4, remember again, this week's parsha Chayisara. So we're going to go on a little bit on a parsha journey, and then Amir Tashem, we're going to come back ultimately to Sefer Tehillim. So parsha's Chayisara, again, so parsha's Chayisara, of course, records the death of Sarah Imenu. So remember, again, just an aside, amazingly enough, and Rav Soloveitchik again makes this observation, the Rav writes, if you notice again, we don't really hear anything about Avraham Avinu after the death of Sarah, right? What happens after Sarah Imenu? Guys, what does Avraham Avinu do? You can name, what does he do, number one? No. Number one, he purchases Maras HaMachpelah, right? Okay, he purchases the first area in Eretz Yisrael that ultimately, again, Jews acquired. Avraham Avinu already acquired Eretz Yisrael, but this was the first piece that Klal Yisrael bought. Number two, finds a wife for Yitzchak. Number three, potentially remarries himself, Keturah, whoever she is. And number four, he dies, right? By the end of the parasha, Avraham Avinu has died at the age of 175. So it's interesting, as Soloveitchik points out, that there's no dynamic activity on the part of Avraham Avinu after the death of Sarah Imenu, which is just interesting, right? We don't see him going around and preaching the word of God. We don't see him going down to the centers of civilization. Because Avraham, this is just an aside, Avraham and Sarah were a synergistic power couple. There was no Avram without a Sarah, and there was no Sarah without an Avram. Avraham Avinu was who he was because he had a Sarah in his corner, because he had a Sarah in his tent, because he had a Sarah in his life. The moment that Sarah is gone, Avraham Avinu, of course, is still there, but he can't accomplish the things that he did while she was alive. So if it's... I'm sorry? That's any married couple. Yes. I'll just say, that was Mrs. Edelman. That was Mrs. Edelman. Okay, it's on the recording. I'm sorry. I don't know what I would do without all of you. I'm saying I would have 100%. I don't know what I'd do in my Wednesday mornings. 1,000%. No, but yes, absolutely. Agreed. So let me just say something interesting. Take a look at number 4. So the pasuk says, Avraham Avinu was advanced in age, and the Ribono Shel Olam blessed Avraham with everything. Bakol. And then the pasuk goes on that Avraham says to Eliezer, who is the servant ruler of his home, go back to my birthplace, go back to my parents, go back to my familial home, and find a wife for Yitzchak. So this phrase, V'Hashem Beirach Es Avraham Bakol, God blessed Avraham Avinu with everything, is a very dramatic pasuk. Why? Because we always assume that what? No one has everything. No one has everything. V'Hashem Beirach Es Avraham Bakol is a fascinating statement. So let's analyze this a little bit. So we'll go through a couple of different approaches. The Ebenezer writes in number 5, V'Hashem Beirach Es Avraham Bakol. So literally again, Ba'orech Yomim, V'Osher, V'Kavod, Ubanim, V'Zu Kol Chemdas Sa'adam. So Bakol means, Ebenezer says that Kadosh Baruch Hu blessed Avraham Avinu with everything that people want. What do people want? People want longevity. People want wealth. People want honor. People want children. Avraham Avinu has all those things. He has every single one of those brachos. V'zu kol chemdas ha'adam. The Ramban writes the same idea. Number 6. Berachas Avraham Bakol. Ba'osher wealth. Nechosim property. Belongings. Kavod. Orech yomim ubanim v'zeko chemdas ha'adam v'hiske akas of ze leimor ki haya shalim bakol lo chaser davar zulasi shiire banim libno shiyinchelu ma'alosu kvodo. See, interesting enough, the Ramban takes it a step further. The Ramban says, Avraham Avinu is reflecting on his life. V'Hashem Birach Es Avraham Bakol. Kadosh Baruch Hu has given me everything. Now that Kadosh Baruch Hu has given me everything, wealth, fame, children, longevity, the only thing that remains is what? To ensure that the next generation is built. Which is why in the very next moment, what does Avraham Avinu set out to do? He sets out to go ahead and find a wife for Yitzchak. So according to the Ramban, that's the progression. Avraham has everything, but his brachos are for his generation. His job now becomes to ensure the continuity of these blessings by establishing the next generation goes out and looks for a wife for Yitzchak. Interestingly enough, you know, this also helps explain another fundamental question in the parsha, which is, if Avraham Avinu is going to look for a wife for Yitzchak, one would have assumed that what? He would have gone himself. Right, it's an interesting idea that Avraham Avinu doesn't go himself. Again, now one could say it's old age, that is possible. Although again, with something like choosing, you know, this wasn't just about the parent getting involved in a shidduch, which is always a good idea to a degree. What this is about is, this is about the continuity. This is about who is going to be the next of the matriarchs. Meaning, this is not just a marital decision, this is a national decision. So one would have thought that Avraham Avinu would not have outsourced this decision or outsourced this process to Eliezer. Comes along the Sfarno and says in number 7, V'Avram Zakin V'Hashem Mirach, Be'era Sibo Shechrichos Avram L'Shloach HaSavdo El Eretz Acheretz Ba'ad Isha Libno V'Shehutzrach L'Ashbio Alav Shehari L'Sibas HaZikna Do'og Sheyamos V'lo Yira B'Chupas B'no V'Hiskim Shelo La'acher Od U'Mibli Ein Ba'artzo. Fine. So he writes over here, U'Mibnei Ashro Dog Shema Eza Adam Bilti Hagun Yer B'Shocha La'avdo K'dei Shivcha B'Bito V'lo Yishad La'asig Isha Aguna Lubno V'Lachin Hutzrach La'ashbiya. See, interestingly enough, so the way the Sfarno understands over here is a progression. V'Avraham Zakin Babayam. Avraham Avinu is old. He's old. That's why he doesn't go himself. Because of old age, he does not seek to take the journey to Haran Taram Naraim to find the wife for Yitzchak. Why now does he choose to find the wife for Yitzchak? Because again, V'Hashem Beirach Es Avraham Bakol. He has everything. But now the question is continuity of the blessing. The blessings are only meaningful if there is a future. The blessings are only meaningful if there is a tomorrow. The blessings are only meaningful if there is a next generation ultimately to inherit them. He needs to find a wife ultimately for Yitzchak. Take a look at number 8. The Ramban takes a different approach. It's actually quite beautiful. The Ramban writes, Aval achirim chidshu beferosh hakosav hazeh inyan amuk ma'od vidarshu bazeh sod misodos ha-Torah. So the Ramban says, this phrase, V'Hashem Birach Es Avraham Bakol, that Hashem blessed Avraham with everything, the Ramban says is a very profound statement. V'omru, Bakol, Tirmos, Al Inyon Gadol. So the Ramban takes issue with the Ibn Ezra, and really with his first interpretation. He says, Bakol can't mean something material. That word Bakol is too big. They say, remember, the Torah speaks about people who are wealthy. The Torah speaks about people who are materially successful. There's a way to put that in the text. V'Hashem Beirach Es Avraham Bakol. is such a magnanimous statement that it must mean something else. What could it mean? If it doesn't refer to material blessing, then what could it refer to? So the Ramban says something quite cryptic. All he tells us is, Tirmos, I'm in number 8, second line, Tirmos al inyan gadol. Whatever it means something great. V'hu sheyesh la kadosh baruch hu mida tikra kol. One of the ways in which we refer to God, one of the attributes of God, is we call God kol. We call HaKadosh Baruch Hu kol. Kol means what? Everything. What is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Ribono Shel Olam is everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kol. If you want one word to describe the totality of the Ribono Shel Olam, it's kol. He is everything. Mipnei Shu Yisod HaKol. So again, so the Ramban gives us this very cryptic statement. Vashem beirachis Avraham bakol, the Ramban says, is not material wealth. Or, I should say, it's not only material wealth. It must be something additional as well. So what is this kol? What the Ramban tells us is kol is the word that is used to describe the totality of the Ribono Shel Olam's Kiddushah, the totality of God's holiness. So what does this mean? According to the Ramban, it seems that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blesses Avram Avinu with what? With what? Almost a little bit of himself. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Avram Avinu the greatest gift that God could give to man. And it's not money, and it's not longevity, and it's not fame, and it's not children. Those are all beautiful gifts that HaLelah we should all be zocher from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he gives Avram Avinu the greatest gift, which is he makes Avram Avinu almost like in the image of himself. He endows Avram Avinu with divine-like qualities. What does that mean to have divine-like qualities? So if we take a look at number 9, the Netziv says something absolutely beautiful. The Netziv writes, V'ashem mirachas Avram bakol, od tam shelo halach b'atzo. So the Netziv is going to define this term while also answering the other question, which is why Avram Avinu doesn't go on his own to find the wife for Yitzchak. So he writes over here, od tam shelo halach b'atzmo mishum shahayu asakav im kol adam. You ever wondered to yourself, like, how did Avram Avinu spend his days? How did he spend, like, you know, what was he doing? He wakes up in the morning. What does he do to fill his day? So I know it sounds like a strange question. We don't answer. We often think, saving the world. Okay, can you tell me, like, what you did today to save the world? How exactly did you save the world today? Look what the Netziv says. Shayu asakav im kol adam. You know what Avram Avinu did? What does it mean, asakav im kol adam? How would you translate that phrase? Asakav im kol adam? You know what Avram Avinu was? Avram Avinu was the first counselor, the first social worker. What was Avram Avinu doing? Listen to this. Zeba v'shoel b'inyanei emuna. This one is having a crisis of faith. So they come to Avram Avinu. V'zel hispalel alav. And this one is having problems with their children. And this one is having problems with their parents. And this is having problems with this. So you want to know Avram Avinu, how was he able to, how did he spend his days? He spent his days dealing with people's crises. The first rabbi, right? He went ahead and he spent his days dealing with people's challenges. This is what he did. And by that's the pshat. V'Hashem beirach es Avraham bakol. What is the most incredible aspect of the Ribono Shel Olam? The most incredible aspect is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has all of the answers. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has all of the etzos. He has all of the different... Any problem I have, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the answer. The great trick in life is, can I hear the answers? Can I, you know, I mentioned this before in our Levi Yitzhak Abedishev quotes the Zohar. Zohar says that if a person listens closely enough, they could still hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. You could still hear God speaking on Mount Sinai, delivering the first of the Ten Commandments. So you know, scientifically, sound breaks down into smaller and smaller units. What Rabbi Levi Yitzchak says is, all of us often ask, if only I could have a sign from God. If only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could tell me what I'm supposed to do. The answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us what we need to do and how we need to do it every single day. The Ribono Shel Olam is whispering in my ear consistently and constantly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving me signs. The difference is, I have to be plugged into the right frequency. if God is broadcasting on AM, but I'm tuned into FM, so I'm not going to hear any of the messages. If HaKadosh, you know, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is using files, and I'm still on, you know, I still get the, what do they call, you know, when they used to go on the internet, you know, dial-up, right? I'm still on dial-up. So again, you know, the messages are behind. So this, so amazingly enough, the Netziv says, Vashem Beirachas Avram Bakol means, the Ribono Shel Olam gave Avram a little piece of himself, a little piece of God. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu has all of the answers. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu has all of the Eitzos. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu has all of the understanding and intuition. The Ribono Shel Olam gave a little piece of that to Avram Avinu. Said Avram Avinu, so what's, see, here's what's amazing. You know, we spoke about this last week a little bit, and I realized afterwards, maybe I was a little too critical of Avram Avinu. You know, we spoke about, was Avram Avinu successful? Successful. So remember again, if Avraham Avinu was rating his life, on his deathbed, did he think he was a success? Bepashtus, no. Bepashtus, no. Avraham Avinu started out his life with grand dreams. Grand dreams. Remember again, he leaves for Canaan. He leaves for Canaan. What does the Torah say? Hanefesh asher asu becharon. Remember, Avraham Avinu, the Rambam writes, is traveling with thousands and thousands of people. I'll use the term not in a net. He has groupies. He has groupies, mamish, there are people wherever Avram go, he is. He's the first Rebbe, the Hasidim are following. They're going with him. But what happens? What happens? Slowly but surely, they all peel away. Who's left by the time he gets to Canaan? Who's left by the time he gets to Canaan? It's Avram, Sarai, Lot. Lot, Eliezer. Where are the Hasidim? Where are the Hasidim? Where did everybody go? So the answer is, you know, everybody gets inspired by the Shabbaton. The Shabbaton was great. It was exciting. It was inspirational. Then they make Havdalah. Everybody goes home. Shabbaton's over. Right? You mean, like, I have to change my life? Like, I'm all into this, like, for 25 hours. And then, give me a Shabbos. Give me an uplifting experience. I'll take it. I'm not really ready to make any dynamic changes. You're going to Canaan? Absolutely. Let's go. You know, by the time the kids need to stop for the bathroom the first time, already, you know what? It's okay. You go. I'll meet you there. We'll catch up with you at a different time. Avram Avinu wanted to change the world. Did he change the world? Did he change the world? So the answer is he did, just not in the way he thought he would. He thought he would change the world in like a large swath of humanity would change. Instead of changing the world in broad strokes, he changed the world one person at a time. When somebody had a broken heart, when somebody had a difficulty, when somebody had a challenge, the address they went to was Avram Avinu. And Avram Avinu healed one heart after the next, one piece of Eitzah after the next piece of Eitzah, one problem solved as one problem solved. So did he change the world? Absolutely, unequivocally, yes. Just not in the way he had ever imagined. Which, by the way, is just two incredible lessons for us. Number one, is that sometimes we accomplish our goals, just not in the way we had thought we would. And number two, that changing the world doesn't mean changing large groups of people. Often changing the world takes place one person at a time. You help one person, you've changed the world. You help two people, you've changed the world a little bit more. That's how you affect change. Says the Netziv, that's the pshat, Vashem Beirachas Avraham Bakol. The Ribono Shel Olam gave Avraham Avinu a little piece of himself, just like God is the address for all answers. God is the one who mends all broken hearts. The Ribono Shel Olam endowed Avram with a little spark of this divinity. So that whoever came to Avraham Avinu with a broken heart, with a broken soul, with some type of problem, Avraham Avinu was given the gift of healing. He was given the gift to be able to help people once again become whole. The Netziv says, parenthetically, we now understand also why it is that Avraham Avinu was unable to go look for a wife for Yitzchak. Why was he unable to do so? He couldn't get out of the office. He couldn't get out of the office. He could not clear his schedule. He was unable to say, I'm sorry, I have no more appointments this week. I'll see you next. He couldn't do it. His sense of achrayus, his sense of responsibility towards the collective of humanity was so overwhelming that it even eclipsed his own sense of responsibility for his own family, which also becomes an incredible paradigm in leadership, that sometimes, again, the needs of the collective always outweigh the needs, or not always, but sometimes outweigh the needs of even one's immediate family. This was Avraham Avinu. So again, he's lucky that he has a trusted servant, but at the end of the day, his sense of achrayus to the collective was so great that he simply could not go. Another approach. Take a look at number 10. This is actually quite a dramatic approach. So again, I just want to point out, all of this is on one simple little phrase. Vashem berach es Avraham bakol. What does it mean that God gives Avraham Avinu everything? A third approach. So the Gemara in Maseches Baba Basra says something dramatically amazing. This is number 10. The Gemara says, Kitanoi, Vashem berach es Avraham bakol, my bakol, Rabbi Meir Omer, shelo haisa lo bas. What does it mean that God blessed Avraham Avinu with everything? The greatest gift that God gave Avram is that what? He didn't have a daughter. He didn't have a daughter. Okay, no, calm down. We're going to see what it means. We're going to explore it. But that was the gift. That was the great chesed that Hashem does Avram Avinu, that he doesn't give him a daughter. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shehaisa lo bas. Rabbi, this is just the opposite. No, he did have a daughter. Achirim Omrim, others say, Bas Haisa lo Avram, he did have a daughter, and her name was Bakol. Bakol. Her name was Bakol. That was her name. Vashem Merachas Avram Bakol. So you see two different interpretations. Either God blessed Avram Avinu with everything means that he gave him, not just the son, but he also gave him a daughter. And perhaps the daughter's name was Bakol. Or he blessed Avram with everything in that he didn't give Avraham a daughter. So what's the pshat? So Rav Hirsch says something quite beautiful over here. Rav Hirsch writes in number 11. If you look by paragraph A, I apologize, it got a little bit cut off. So Rav Hirsch is bothered by this idea. Why would anyone say that the blessing of everything is not having a daughter? Right? First of all, again, if nothing else, Vashem Berachas Avram Bakol is a positive statement. The idea that blessing Avram with everything means that he didn't have something is just a strange interpretation of the verse. And Rav Hirsch here says something dramatically amazing, which interprets all of the opinions. Now surely, I apologize, the A got cut off. Now surely nobody could wish to say that the highest blessing can be to have no daughter at all. Apart from the fact that the same sages say that no marriage can be considered to have fulfilled its purpose until a son and daughter have resulted from it. Now remember again, what Rav Hirsch is pointing out over here is that the technical mitzvah period of erivia, procreation, is only fulfilled once a man has a son and a daughter. There could be no place more unsuited for making such a statement than just the very chapter, the contents of which Sarah and Rebecca serve to glorify women more than any other. So remember again, these are not the parashos to speak about the fact that not having a daughter is a blessing. These are the parashos where the women play the pivotal roles. Sarah Imenu, later on Rivka, Rachel, Leah, these are all women who are building up Klal Yisrael. So how can you say that it's a bracha not to have a daughter? But all these sayings would say that Bakol, that God blessed Avram in all things, showed itself just in that, i.e. everything, even in such matters that without God's special care would be likely to disturb the happiness of his life. Now watch this. Now just at this point where we see Avram's great worry to find a suitable wife for his only son, a worry to settle which he must have believed that he would have had to trust the quite special dispensation of God, the thought must come to one's mind, what a worry, what a terrible, almost insolvable problem would have been presented to Avram if he had a daughter and would have had to look for a husband for her from out of the Canaanite or Aramaic men. Rav Hirsch says something amazing. Biblical norms is that a woman went to her husband's home. When we get married, she would go and resettle with the husband's family. We see this again by all of the emos. This is what happened. So Rav Hirsch says something amazing. Now remember, it's not easy to find a shidduch for Yitzchak as it is, because remember again, the pool is quite limited. Even Avraham Avinu's own family is nothing to write home about, but he knows them. He knows them. He knows the genes. He knows the familial DNA. He understands that there's a strong foundation of chesed, a strong foundation of goodness, of kindness, a bit warped in some of the family members, but there's the right kind of genetic spiritual material to work with. But what? He's going to find the young lady, and here's the good news. The good news is, where is she going to live? Where is she going to live? in the tent of Sarah Imenu. Remember again, Vayivyel Yitzchak Ka'ohela Sarah Imo. The good news is that this woman who will marry Yitzchak will be cocooned by the right spiritual influences. She will be embraced in the Abrahamic home. She'll be influenced by the chesed of the home. She'll be influenced by the spirituality of the home. It's okay. As long as she has good midos with which to work with, we can work out the rest. What if Avraham Avinu would have had a daughter? What if he would have had a daughter? So that would have meant, by definition, sending her to an alien home. That would have, by definition, meant marrying her off. Remember again, there's not a big pool of monotheists. There's not a big pool of suitable marriage partners. But he would have had, even if there was someone who was potentially suitable, he would have had to have sent his daughter away from the cocoon, the spiritual cocoon of the Abrahamic home, to some type of spiritual alien circumstances, atmosphere. And that, Rav Hirsch said, would have almost inevitably meant the spiritual loss of this daughter. The only way the Abrahamic family stays strong is because of the power of the home, which, by the way, you know, is a different discussion. You know, I mentioned this, I think, last week in the parasha share. You know, last week's parasha told us about the differences between Lot and Avram Avinu's Hachnasas Archim. Right? And what was the prime difference in their Hachnasas Archim? The prime difference was that Avraham Avinu told the guests to wash their feet before they went into the house, and Lot let the people in the house without washing their feet. Rashi HaKadosh says, why is Avraham Avinu so careful about going ahead and washing the feet? Why? Because he was scared that they were idolaters who worshipped the dust. Avraham Avinu loved everyone. Avraham Avinu had an unconditional love for every single person. And Avraham Avinu runs out to greet the Archim, runs out to greet the guests, but you don't bring Avodah Zarah into your home. Avraham Avinu understood, you love everybody unconditionally and accept everyone for who they are, but be careful what you allow in your home. Be careful the influences you let in. Don't let the dirt, don't let the schmutz, don't let the Avodah Zarah permeate the walls of the home. Because the moment the home is compromised is the moment that all of the residents of the home are compromised as well. Lot also did Hachnasas Archim. Just Lot didn't understand that certain things have to remain at the threshold and can't come into the house. That was the distinction here. So if Hirsch says, V'Hashem Berachas Avram Avakol, means yes. Thank God Avram Avinu didn't have a daughter. Because if he had a daughter, again, this is not a misogynistic statement, Chas V'Shalom. It's not but again, if he had a daughter, he would have had to say goodbye to her. Because again, the norm was she would have gone to live with her husband, and he would have had no ability to cocoon that mishpacha, to cocoon her children, ultimately, again, within that cocoon of spirituality. He then goes on, if you take a look at paragraph D, he says something so beautiful. He says, Rabbi Yehuda carries on with the same trend of thought, but thinks on the trend. So remember again, that's the approach, that's the understanding, that V'Hashem Berachas Avram Bakol means God blessed Avram Avinu, and that what? And that he didn't have a daughter. That was the bracha, yes.
Why couldn't he have Mashad
after
Eliezer?
Because Eliezer was still an Eved Kenani. Was there an Eved? Eliezer was not...
Avram couldn't have groomed him and...
Not to an Eved. The same way that our ancestors who left Egypt never went into they were never going to go into Eretz Yisrael. It wasn't about Chidn Raglim was the flashpoint. Slaves can't be free men. Slaves don't believe in they own their destiny. Slaves report to someone else. Only free men build nations. Only free men build countries. Avraham Avinu had to marry off his children to someone who was not an Eved. Someone who was free. So look at letter paragraph D. Rabbi Yehuda, remember again, Rabbi Yehuda is the one who says in the Gemara that what? V'Hashem Erachas Avraham Akol means what? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Avraham Avinu a daughter. So look what he writes. Rabbi Yehuda carries on the same train of thought, but thinks, on the contrary, that even in this point, Avraham was blessed not by the denial of, but by the granting of a daughter. God did give Avram a daughter, and he was blessed by her remaining his, even in her marriage, and thereby formed a bridge between the isolated house of Avram and the rest of the world. Avram was thereby granted a blessing that he would have remained unobtainable in his isolation, to plant the Abrahamic spirit in the non-Abrahamic world. So Hirsch says so beautifully that the second Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Kadosh Baruch Hu did give him a daughter. And what happened? His daughter married whoever it is that she married, but the amazing part was she kept her traditions. The amazing part was she kept her allegiance and her fidelity to Abrahamic values. She served as the bridge from Avraham Avinu to the greater world. Now, the fact that we never hear of her, the fact that we don't know who she is, again, whether her name was Bakal, who she married, what she did, the point is, and again, if you take Rav Hirsch even a step further, Rav Hirsch, the other opinion says,
who better to influence the spirituality of the home than a woman? The Akeres Habayis. Aaron Avinu was blessed with a daughter because a daughter, ultimately, again, as a wife, is in the unique position to influence her mishpacha in a way that only a woman can. So these two different opinions. Did he have a daughter? Didn't he have a daughter? If he didn't have a daughter, it was a bracha because he doesn't have to worry about losing her to the alien values. If he did have a daughter, then ultimately, again, bless you, she served as the bridge to the outside world. Take a look at number 12. Take a look at number 12. See, here's all of this was kind of just, this was the appetizer. So now take a look at number 12. So remember again, I'm just pointing out to you, you see all of these, this is really approach number 4, not 5. I apologize for that misnumbering. So again, just so you understand, all of this in one little pasuk. What does it mean that God blessed Avram Avinu with everything? So far we've seen three different approaches. The first approach of the Ibn Ezra and first approach of the Ramban, that it literally means wealth, fame, longevity, children. Also explains why Avram Avinu ultimately doesn't go to find a wife for Yitzchak, he's already too old. Second approach, the Ramban, and ultimately again the Netziv. Bakol means God bless Avram Avinu with a spark of divinity. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu has all of the answers, Avram Avinu had all of the answers, which is just an incredible thing. He had all of the Eitzos, all of the different ideas, all the different remedies, all the different approaches to be able to heal and to mend all of the broken hearts. We now saw again the Gemara, which says that Bakol could even mean he gave him a daughter, in which case again, she was Avram Avinu's bridge to the outside world, or he didn't give him a daughter, which ultimately, again, thereby saving Avram Avinu incredible agmas nefesh, incredible personal pain of having to lose a child in a spiritual sense. But now we come to number 11. Number 12. The Aznaim LaTorah. Rav Suratskin, in his parish on Chumash, says something absolutely amazing. And with this, we're going to loop this back to Tehillim now. Rav Suratskin, Hashem Rachas Avram Bakol, listen to this. Kol Yomav Shal Avram Avinu, Lo Haisa Birchosol, Shal Vasol Shalema. Avram Avinu has many blessings throughout his life. Remember again, he achieves wealth pretty early on, or at least pretty early on to his sojourn into Eretz Yisrael. So remember again, when does Avram Avinu become wealthy? Mitzrayim. Right already, so again, when does he go to Mitzrayim? Pretty much upon arriving in Canaan, there's regional family, he has to go to Mitzrayim. So wealth he has, a child ultimately, or two children, two sons he has, but amazingly enough, Kol Yomav Shel Avram Avinu, Lo Haisa Berchaso, the real bracha in life. What's the real bracha in life? Shalvaso, a sense of tranquility. A sense of peace. You know, a person, we all know, a person can have all the money and all the fame and all the wonderful trappings of life. A person doesn't have shalom, they have nothing. Avram Avinu has no tranquility. He never had tranquility. Lo haisa brechaso shalvaso shalema. Ki kimat tamid, listen to these words, nimtza be'ezat tzara. Avram Avinu always has something going on. There's always some type of tzara. There's always some type of difficulty. And he writes, dash, nisayon. Right? If you think about it again, Avram Avinu is always being tested. There's always something going on. There's never like, okay, I passed the test, now I could relax. There's always something happening. But from this moment and on, mishenigmaru ha'asarnis. So remember again, is Avram Avinu being tested anymore? So the answer is no. Last test was machlokes. The last test was the akedah, the binding of Yitzchak, or the purchase of ma'aras ha'machpelah. But either way, the tests are done. The tests are done. Avam mishazu ve'elech ha'isalo shalva gimura. Avram Avinu gets to live out the rest of his years in tranquility. Uberchaso haisa bakol. And therefore again, says Aznaim LaTorah, that's what it means. Vashem beirach es Avram bakol means that for the first time in Avram Avinu's life, life is tranquil. Life is quiet. Now the truth is, even this is not totally true. Because the tranquility, meaning remember, how old was Avram Avinu at the time of this statement? So remember again, we could pretty much figure this out. So I mean, it was 127 when she dies. Avram is 10 years older, so he's about 137 years old. He dies at 175. So Aznaim LaTorah says that for the last 40 years of Avram Avinu's life were tranquil. Vashem beirachas Avram bakol. No more tests, no more ups and downs, no more difficulties, no more challenges, no more trials, no more tribulations. Vashem beirachas Avram bakol with incredible tranquility. Of course, there's an incredible footnote to this, which is that he's a widower. that he's a widower. Meaning, what do you mean tranquility? I mean, he's in incredible pain. We have to imagine that void that he must have felt with the death of Sarah. I mean, it was something that was exceptionally acute. But okay, hold on to this for just a moment. So, Vashem Erechas Avram Bakol, at the end of the day, life is now tranquil. Life is now quiet. And you begin to see this motif amongst the Mefarshim. Take a look at number 13. The Medrash writes, Vashem Erechas Avram Bakol, Rab Levi V'Shem, Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina, Amar, Shelo Chazar V'Nisa Oso. Same idea. Kadosh Baruch Hu did not go ahead and retest Avram Avinu. There are no more tests. There are no more tests, Baruch Hashem. It's the end. Bashem Yechus Avram Makol, Avram, you're done. You passed. You can live out your twilight years in absolute serenity, tranquility. You have money, Baruch Hashem. You're comfortable. Yitzchak is okay. Even Yishmael, as we'll see, does tshuva. Okay, Sarah is not here. You understand, life is not perfect. But at the end of the day, Baruch Hashem, I'm not going to test you again. You're done. Take a look at number 14. So again, another medrash. Vashem Yerachas Avram HaKol. So the Pasuk says over here, again, so interestingly enough, a little bit of a hybrid, this Medrash in number 14 merges elements that we saw in the beginning by the Ibn Ezra with this idea by the Psikta. So the Medrash begins in number 14 by saying, V'Hashem Yerachas Avram Bakol, B'chol Minei Bracha, Harbe, She'ol Avadim U'Nechasim, He has slaves, He has servants, He has property, V'yochol Lishloach Shluchim Harbe, U'Midrasho Shenasan Labas, V'Hishlet Bo Yetz Yitzro, V'Vasi Yishmal Tshuva B'Yamav, Velochi Serklum. So this Medrash kind of brings in all of the other motifs that we mentioned. He's got wealth, Yishmal did Tshuva, he no longer has Hishlito B'Yitzro, means he doesn't have to struggle with his Yitzhara. Again, he's 137 years old, but he doesn't have to struggle with his Yitzhara. Veloni so old. There are no more tests. So you see already this beginning of this motif. There are no more tests. The notion that Avram Avinu knows that the Nisyonos are behind him. There are no more tests. There are no more trials and tribulations. There are no more challenges. There are no more difficulties. All of that is done. That's Vashem Beirachas Avram Bakol. You have to understand something. If you're Avram Avinu, I'd have to imagine, if you're Avram Avinu, you know, when you put your head on the pillow at night, what's going through your mind? What's going to happen tomorrow, right? Think about it. You know, we know these stories, so they're not like so riveting anymore. But imagine for a moment you're living this in real time. It's Lech Lecha, it's Mitzrayim, it's the Akedos, it's crazy stuff. It's the Kivshana, it's a whole bunch of crazy things. And God is calling upon you to rise to the occasion time after time after time. And He doesn't really give you much notice. He doesn't really tell you what's coming down the pike. You're kind of just living a little bit by the seat of your tunic, and you're managed, like, you'd never know, like, what's going to happen next. So Vashem Beirachas Avram Bakol, you're done. I promise I will not test you anymore. I promise that there will be no more challenges, no more bumps. And by the way, if you look at the Avraham Avinu's life, Baruch Hashem, there are no more bumps. After the death of Sarai Imenu, pretty much life closes out in a pretty linear way. He's privileged to see Yitzchak get married. He's privileged to meet a wonderful daughter-in-law. He's not privileged to see, well, grandchildren, we'll talk about it a different time. But life is pretty much a linear progression for Avram Avinu. Vashem Erechas Avram Bakol, no more nisyonos. But take a look at number 15. And with this, we'll loop it back. We'll bring it back to the Pasuk in Tehillim. So the Toldos Yitzchak, who is the nephew of Rav Yosef Karo, the nephew of the Mechaber, says something amazing. He says, Vashem Erechas Avram Bakol. Get ready for this. Lefi Sheyesh Zekenim, Lesibas Saros, So ultimately, again, you know that sometimes in our old age, in people's old age, life is not always smooth sailing. There are many challenges that come along with old age, right? Sometimes, chas v'shalom, a person could see their children pass away before them. Meaning, longevity is not always a bracha. Longevity is not always easy. Sometimes the longer a person lives, I know this might sound like a morose thing, the longer a person lives, so the more opportunity they have to see tzaras, the more opportunity they have to see difficulties and challenges. Perske chas v'shalom, see children predecease him, choloim roim, illness, anios, poverty, lezeh amar, lo haya zakin, Ella mitzad sheba bayomim. So listen to this. The Pasuk says, Va'Avraham zaken ba bayamim. So the first thing the Medrash says is, listen, Avram Avinu, he's old because he's chronologically old. He's old at the end of the day because he's advanced in years. Shelesibas tsaros lo haya zaken. In other words, if you look at what Avram Avinu lived through, it would have been easy to say that he was old even before he became chronologically old. Why? Why? Because his circumstances aged him. Remember, we spoke about Shmuel Hanavi last week. Shmuel Hanavi was how old when he dies? Either 50, 52, 55, somewhere in that young age. But yet the Navi describes Shmuel as being old. As being old. So the Mefarshim point out that Shmuel Hanavi prematurely aged. As a result, he looked like an old man. Why? Because of the difficulties of his life, because of the challenges that he had to endure. So I told us Yitzchak says something amazing. The pasuk tells me, Avraham zaken ba bayamim, Avraham Avinu was old, but he didn't allow the difficulties of his circumstances to age him. Instead, the reason he's old is because he's 137 years old. The man is old. It's not an insult. It's not a statement about the impact of the events of his life on him. It's a chronological statement. Now watch this. Shelesibas tsaros lo haya zaken. Avraham Avinu never allowed his tsaros to age him. Now get ready for this. Vashem birach es Avraham bakol. Because Avraham says, understand this idea, because Avraham Avinu lived the life of Vashem birach es Avraham bakol. What does that mean? Todos Yitzchak says, I'm sorry everyone else. You're all wrong. You are painting a picture that Avraham Avinu has no more. And it says, first of all, the Talmud Yitzchak says, it doesn't even make sense. Do you know when God tells you that your challenges are over? Right? When you hear the dirt land on the lid of your aron, that means that's the message from God that your nisyonos are over. God doesn't communicate to people, not testing you. If you're not testing, what am I doing here? I'm taking up space? What am I doing in this world if there are no challenges? What am I doing in this world if there are no nisyonos? Again, life is all about one word, and that one word is growth. And growth only comes about because of challenges. You understand, no one grows from brachas. This is a difficult lesson to absorb. No one ever says, I'm going to be better because look at what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for me. In fact, usually it's just the opposite. The more brachos we get, generally the more complacent we become. Growth only comes about because of challenge. Challenge creates the friction that ultimately, again, results in growth. So says it told us Yitzchak, how can you say that God says to Avram, good job, you know, here's a gold watch, we'll make you a little party, a little like life retirement party. You're retired from life. Live out the last 40 years and it's going to be quiet, it's going to be easy. Sit back and enjoy the show. That's not life. That's death. That's olam haba. That's not life. Therefore, says the Torah, the Torah is telling us something dramatically different. Va'avraham zaken ba bayamim. First point of information. Avraham Avinu is old. But he never let the negativity of his circumstances age him. He never let the challenges of his circumstances, negativity is the wrong word. He never let the challenges age him. He never allowed himself to prematurely age. He never got old before his time. He's old now because he's Baba Yamin. Because chronologically he's old. Avram, how is it that you were able to keep such a dramatically positive disposition despite all of the challenges? Despite all of the things that you've gone through, you know, if we're honest with ourselves, we become a lot more cynical, jaded, and soured on life with a lot less than Avraham Avinu had to go through, right? I always say, it's an amazing thing how people encounter theological crises when something doesn't go their way. You'll excuse me, such arrogance. Who said things are supposed to go your way? And who says that the way you planned it out is the way it's supposed to happen? That you have kindness under the Ribono Shel Olam, that he didn't give you what you want? What gaiva? How do I know what the divine plan is? We have kindness. People have complaints against HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all different kinds of things. Sometimes, obviously, it comes from a place of pain, which of course is legitimate, and people deal with all types of debilitating and difficult circumstances. I don't mean that in the extreme, but I just mean we look at Avraham Avinu, and he had so many challenges. How is it that he was able to maintain such a positive disposition? And the Torah says one phrase, Vashem Beirach Es Avraham Bakol. Because Avraham Avinu lived his life saying, I have everything. No, you don't. You don't have everything. You were childless until the age of 100. You don't have everything. You've been cast out from a pariah from all different societies. Avram Avinu makes the most dramatic of all life decisions, which is, Avram chooses to focus on what he has and not to focus on what he lacked. Vashem Beirach es Avraham Bakol is not simply a statement. It bless you. It is a life mantra. It is the way that I have a choice to make. I could define myself, and I could define my life, and I could define my circumstances by what I lack. And again, there's no shortage to what Avraham Avinu lacks. There's no shortage to what any of us lack. Or I can choose to define my life by what I have. And the amazing part is that if you begin to define your life by what you have, you're usually overwhelmed with an incredible reality, which is, I have a lot. I have a lot. I have a lot. And you know what? I have it all. No one has everything, like with a capital E, but I have everything with a lowercase e, because everything doesn't have to mean everything. Everything ultimately just means a lot. The Torah Kedoshah is giving us an insight into the greatness of the Abrahamic personality. How does a person weather challenge? How does a person weather adversity? How does a person deal with difficult circumstances in life and not allow them to turn you into someone angry and bitter? One simple but not so simple phrase. Vashem Beirach es Avraham Bakol. Because Avraham Avinu said every single day, I have everything. No, you don't. Yes, I do. I have everything. What about children? I have everything. What about a wife now in your golden years? I have everything. Avraham Avinu chose to focus on what he has and not on what he lacks. So when you live a life focusing on your brachos and not constantly hyperventilating over the deficiencies, then a person begins to appreciate the magnitude of the brachos they have in life. And by the way, amazingly enough, fast forward a couple of parshios. Remember again, Parshas Vayishlach, the fateful encounter between the brothers. Yaakov and Esav haven't seen each other for over 2 decades. Yaakov Avinu goes ahead and sends a gift to Esav. And what does Esav say? I don't need it, my brother. Yesh li rav. And what does Yaakov Avinu respond? Yesh li kol. It's okay, keep it. Because I have everything. All right, but one second. There's going to be 25 less sheep, right, in the flock. There's going to be this amount of less money in your bank account. I'm an enikal of Avraham Avinu. Yesh li kol. I have everything. Because I choose to define the quality and nature of my existence, not by what I lack, but by what I have. Now, this, I think, is what David HaMelech is saying. Go back now to number one for just a moment. So remember again in number one, this will conclude with number one in Pasuk Vav. David HaMelech says, Hinei Elokim ozer li Hashem b'samchei nafshi. So the Ribono Shel Olam goes ahead. The Ribono Shel Olam helps me. Hashem b'samchei nafshi. So what does that mean? What does that phrase mean? That Hashem is with those who support my soul. So we saw the Eben Ezra and the Malbim, ultimately again, who say that David HaMelech is saying, even though I feel alone, I'm not alone. Ribono Shel Olam bless the people who help me. But perhaps David HaMelech is saying is the following. Hinei Hashem, Hinei Elokim ozer li. Ribono Shel Olam. Ribono Shel Olam. I know that you're always here to help me. But how do I feel supported? Hashem, I feel you. Besomchei nafshi. With those things which support my soul. What are the things which support my soul? David HaMelech says, when I take an accounting and I take stock of the things I have in life, I realize how much you love me. When I choose to define my existence by the things I have and not by the things I lack, that's when I feel that you occupy such a prominent place in my life. You understand what's happening in the midst of this capital? David HaMelech is saying, I feel so alone, I feel so betrayed, I feel so stabbed in the back. All rightfully so. But what's the danger when you feel constantly betrayed, stabbed in the back, under? What's the danger? The danger is that you become a person who always feels betrayed, stabbed in the back. You become bitter, you become angry, you become disillusioned. But David HaMelech says, I have so many things I want to accomplish in this world. I have so many things I want to do. How do I keep my positive disposition? I know that you are always with me. You always support me. You know that I know that? Hashem, how do I feel your presence? Because you give me all of these things which support my soul. You give me all of these beautiful brachos in life, and I choose to see you in the things that I have, and not to go ahead and focus on the things that I lack. And I want to say something dramatically amazing, and this will conclude. I know I said that 5 times already, but this is really going to conclude. What does David HaMelech have going for him at this point in his life? At least he has his health. At least he has his health. It's pretty much all he's got going for him, right? Meaning, no family. His wife is with someone else. Father-in-law turned on him. His own family was never like great advocates for him. All right, he's got the Navi on his side. He knows that he's been coronated as king. But if you ask David HaMelech, being coronated as king is not exactly a life accomplishment, right? That has robbed him of everything he has in life. He doesn't want the job. He never wanted the job. He has no. So that's not a plus that I've been anointed as king. But yet, despite the fact that at least on paper, the column of brachos doesn't seem to run so long. Ribono Shalom, I know if I think hard enough, I'll find all the beautiful brachos that you give me. I'll find the somchei nafshi. Those things that support my soul, that's a reference to the brachos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us in life. And if I choose to focus on those brachos, and not to focus on the things that are deficient, and not to focus on the things that are lacking, and there are many of them, then Ribono Shalom, that's how I maintain my positive disposition. And that positive disposition is so important. Because without a positive disposition, you can't move yourself forward. Without a positive disposition, you can't change the world. Without a positive disposition, you cannot be an agent of change. That's the beautiful lesson David HaMelech is teaching us. What David HaMelech called Hashem Elokim Ozer Li, Hashem B'somchei Nafshi, is the same, just different words for the Abrahamic principle of Vashem Beirach Es Avraham Bakol, which is not a statement, but rather, again, is a mantra. To live a life where I'm not hyper-focused on what I lack, but to live a life where I'm able to focus, appreciate, and dwell on all that I have. And when I recognize all that I have, I will come to that realization, Vashem Beirach Osi Bakol. I might not have everything, but I have everything. And with that knowledge, with that positive disposition, then a person is poised to accomplish incredible things in life. Right, we'll stop over here. I guess there's no class next week. Is that what you said? No class next week. No class tonight.